Welcome to the Campbell Conversations. I have three guests today. They're the Green Party candidates for offices in the city of Syracuse, elections being held this November. Kevin Bott is running for mayor, Hallie Hawkins is running for city council in the 4th District, and Barbara Humphrey is running for the city school board. Kevin, Hallie, Barbara, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Hello.
Kevin, let me start with you. To what degree are the three of you running on a shared platform with a similar message, or are you all running individual campaigns?
We're very much running together. We meet weekly to talk about the campaign and talk about the issues that are of concern to us and of concern to the city. So this is very much a joint effort. You know, our message addresses the primary concerns of the residents of Syracuse, and that is the economic crisis, which is large in terms of the looming bankruptcy, but also includes joblessness and poverty, which are at their highest rates in 4 years, our crisis in our city schools, and the criminal activity that's, seeing homicide rates at perhaps the historical high in the city.
Well, okay, and I'm going to follow up with each of you in different ways on those three things. Barbara, let me ask you, though, again, sticking with this big picture question, what do you think are the most important differences between the overall policy views of the Greens and the three of you and the Democrats? Can you characterize that in some overall way?
Yes. I describe myself as the independent candidate, so independent of the Democratic Party machine. I'm willing to speak up at the state level for the governor, the legislature, to give us our equity share of education that was started in 2007 based on legislation. We got 37.5% of the way there, and it stopped, and now we're balancing the state budget on the backs of our school systems. We need to get to 100% of our equity share of school aid-based formula, and we need to make up for the loss. I don't think the other candidates are going to speak up. Also, federal education reform, which is a setup for failure for urban schools. The Democrats are not going to be speaking up about that. In fact, they haven't been. It's already taken hold in the city school district, and none of the members of the Syracuse Board of Education have spoken up with anything other than let it come.
And what about Howie and Kevin beyond the education issue and the education funding issue? What are some of the most central differences between Democrats and Democratic Party positions and the Green Party positions?
Well, I think Bob hit on it. We're independent. We're free to say what needs to be said and do what needs to be done. You saw Democrats who questioned the mayor get primaried by the Democratic Committee, Lance Denno and Gene Kessner, because they were somewhat dissident. We need people that are free to speak up to the state, because it's not just the Foundation Aid formula that Barbara was just referring to that we have not been funded, but also revenue sharing, which was a statutory 8% coming out of the 70s after a campaign by Lee Alexander, John Lindsay, all the big six mayors, to fund cities like Syracuse where the manufacturers left and the eds and meds came in, providing regional employment and economic engine for the region but not having a tax base to support services. We are now getting less than 1%. So the fiscal crisis we're in and the, you know, heading toward a Detroit-style takeover is totally inexcusable. The state owes the city money, and none of these Democrats, and they're all elected Democrats in the city, is speaking up to Governor Cuomo on that. We need some independent voices and get a conversation started.
And, Kevin, I wanted to see if you wanted to add anything to those two positions, and then add a question onto it. Again, thinking of this from an overall sense, is it also fair to say that the Greens are to the left of the Democrats? Is that overly simplistic?
Well, I think it is somewhat simplistic. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of labels. I think that when I became attracted to the Green Party, it was simply because I finally read the platform and said, my goodness, this isn't a one-issue party. This is a party that actually represents my values and concerns. And I think that is what I think about in terms of our differences with the machine parties. We are people who are running for office among in the Green Party are, by and large, working people, average people, people who can actually represent the constituency. I'm an educator. I have a background in education and criminal justice. I have a family who has dealt very directly with the pension crisis, with unemployment, with outsourcing. So how does one represent the average person in Syracuse if they have a lot of money and have no background in education and crime. We are very different from the career politicians who have been working at this in Albany for 20-plus years.
I'm Grant Reher, and I'm speaking with the Green Party candidates for Syracuse City offices, Kevin Bott, Howie Hawkins, and Barbara Humphrey. Howie, let me come back to you. It's my sense that some of the Green proposals involve some pretty significant reframing and restructuring of how local government works. Can you say a little bit about that?
Sure. I think on the economic side, we need to get away from giving tax breaks to absentee owners. That's the old Jack Kemp Republican enterprise zone approach. We're in a race to the bottom with other jurisdictions, and it has not succeeded in economic development. So we're talking about investing in our own people and cooperatives, provide technical assistance and financial assistance. So the wealth created by our labor is shared among the workers and anchored to the community. So we build up our community wealth. I think that's a fundamental difference on economic development. We believe in progressive taxation based on ability to pay, graduated rates to fund social services. We don't want to soak the rich. We just want them to pay what they used to pay to fund public services. If the city has good public services, particularly good schools, then middle-class homeowners will stay and come back, and so will businesses. If your schools are bad and your services are inadequate, people that can are going to leave, and that's the problem Syracuse has been. So we have no apology for progressive taxation and a revitalized public sector.
Let me follow up on exactly that point with you, Barbara, and put this in terms of the school system. So as a Green on the board, would you be advocating for more funding for the city's schools, even if it meant higher taxation?
Absolutely. I have talked at a couple of events about particularly going back to the foundation aid formula and not balancing the state budget on the backs of the schools. I've also talked a little bit about a local income tax, getting permission from the state for a local income tax, about 1%, that would be paid by city residents and also commuters coming into the city, that would be used for both the city side and the school district side. And the people I have talked to, including the people who are commuters, who, you know, kind of give me a look when I say that, I say, look, 1%. It's not going to break anybody's back, but it certainly could provide the resources to the city and the schools to make a difference.
And to follow up on that, that is the issue always that comes up when this proposal gets put forward is, okay, the unintended consequence of this is that people are not going to come into the city again and businesses will relocate and all that kind of thing. And obviously there's got to be some kind of boundary that if you stay on one side or the other, this happens or doesn't happen. So why do you think 1% is on one side and say, I don't know, maybe 20% would be on the other side?
Well, I think 1% is small enough to be a negligible difference. The other reality is our two largest employers in the city right now are Upstate Medical University and Syracuse University. They're not moving to the suburbs. Our third largest employer, at least it was Lockheed Martin, and they're already outside the city. So I don't believe that we're going to see a mass exodus of businesses into the suburbs. In fact, the suburbs may think, hey, if they can do it, we can do it too, because clearly there are suburban issues that could benefit from more resources as well.
And Kevin, another big issue that comes out of these kinds of conversations is the limits of what a city can do on its own to really change its own path.
Yeah, well, I think that Howie did touch on the possibilities. I think that we're at a point, and I think a lot of people are finally becoming wise to this fact, that we as a nation need to reimagine and reinvent our economies in American cities. We can't rely on the kinds of big business, manufacturing business that sustained upstate New York for many decades. The idea of worker-owned, for-profit businesses that keep money in the pockets of local workers and tax dollars in the city is a solution that's being undertaken in other cities in America, Cleveland and Richmond, California, Richmond being the largest green-run city in America right now. But I also think that we need to reclaim our power as people in a democracy and organize as citizens to demand that some of these constraints imposed by Albany be lifted. We need, like New York City and Yonkers, to be able to levy an income tax on ourselves. We have a lot of workers from the suburbs and from the city who could afford to pay a very progressive income tax that won't be a burden, but it would bring a lot of money into the city and alleviate this looming fiscal crisis that is very real.
You mentioned also the worker-owned enterprises, yeah. And we had the economist Rick Wolf on the program recently talking about that. So would you envision then the city incubating these kinds of things? Say more about that idea.
Well, first, I should say I was here when Rick was in town, and Rick, of course, ran for mayor of New Haven, Connecticut, as a Green Party candidate and has been very involved with the Green Party. And he talks about the Mondragon Corporation in the Basque region of Spain, which after World War II was the poorest region almost in all of Europe. And they began incubating this worker-owned model as very small business in partnership with a vocational college. And today they're the largest employer in this region of Spain. They partner with Microsoft and Apple. They are a very successful model, and they are partnering with Richmond, California. I think that we need to incubate partnerships. I think we need to reach out to corporations like Mondragon, and also that, you know, as Nancy Cantor leaves the university, I think that the city needs to be taking the lead in shaping these partnerships between campus and community. And, of course, professionally, I'm more than qualified to take the lead on that and really take advantage of the enthusiasm and expertise of our 30,000 students in the city and many, many faculty and staff members who really want to be engaged in rebuilding Syracuse.
My guests are the candidates for City of Syracuse offices this November. Kevin Bott is running for mayor, Hallie Hawkins is running for city council in the 4th District, and Barbara Humphrey is running for the city school board. Hallie, do the Greens have a position on I-81 and also the process to decide what to do about I-81?
We would like to see mass transit as an option to be studied. So far, they've just looked at rebuilding the elevated highway or a boulevard, and that seems to be focused on how do you move cars with commuters in and out of the city, leaving us who live here with the pollution, all the parking garages, all the prime real estate being used just for cars. The solution should be built around how do we move people and goods in and out of the city and in and around the city. Only 12% of the traffic on 81 is through traffic, so that could be rerouted around the city. Then the question is, how do you move people in and around? Mass transit. This city was serviced by a citywide trolley system in 1900. We're 113 years later. Why can't we have that kind of solution and bring some of this land back? I mean, we have in our platform a vision of a green, sustainable neighborhood downtown that's mixed income, mixed use, and mixed age that expands housing, businesses, and green space, parks. And we think that would be an attraction for people, you know, something like 45,000 people work right in that vicinity. So instead of it being devoted to a big old highway that's polluting and we have a big asthma problem right next to it in Pioneer Homes, that's an option that needs to be studied. That's where we start. And the process, the city, those of us who live here with the consequences of this thing should have a lot of say on it. And right now, the way it's structured, it's the New York State DOT that's got the final say. The least we can do, and that's why we need independent voices like us, speak up to them, organize people. I mean, I see my job as a counselor as much as an organizer in the community, getting people engaged as being an advocate.
And Barbara, my understanding also is that you have some views about that same issue of public involvement when it comes to the education system. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Yes. As I go around and talk to people, I've challenged them in many cases to almost everybody knows who the superintendent is. Very few people know the names of all seven members of the Board of Education. I absolutely believe that the community needs to get more involved, more engaged in the schools. And one of the things I've talked about is asking permission from the state to allow the Big Five the opportunity to go independent, to go directly to the voters for their budget, for taxation. And one of the reasons I support that is that I believe that it would engage more people in the schools and it would force the superintendent and the board to be more accountable to the people.
And Kevin, we talked about crime very quickly at the beginning of the program. I wanted to come back to you on that now. What would be a green approach to crime reduction in the city and also to police accountability? Because both of those have been problematic issues for the city lately.
Yeah, well, first of all, we have to recognize that just about 2 weeks ago, numbers came out that showed 57% of kids under the age of 18 are living in poverty, and almost 40% of all of our city residents are living in poverty. If you have that kind of concentration of poverty in a city, you're going to have high crime. We need to create jobs for people. If you don't stabilize people's lives, if you don't give people a sense that there is a future and a hopeful future, you know, these crimes where these kids are walking up to seniors and cold-cocking them and killing them, I mean, this is the result of kids who don't see a future. They don't think life itself is meaningful because they don't see their life being meaningful to others. So we need to take a very holistic approach to what's happening. This is not just happening in Syracuse. This is happening nationwide. That's why we are focusing so heavily on the jobs program and this idea of worker-owned for-profit businesses. That's number one. The other thing I'll say, and I know that there are going to be people out there that say, you know, this is a soft kind of policy, but I come from a tradition of storytelling. I'm an artist and a humanist. And what I know and what I see again and again is that when people can come together in a meaningful way and actually hear one another's stories and the facts of their lived reality, things begin to change. We start to humanize one another, and we begin to see that people are not numbers. They are not statistics. These are not bad seeds that were born criminals. These are people who are making choices within the constraints of a very limited number of life options, and we need to deal with that reality. As far as the police officers, you know, I have to say, first, my mom works side by side with police officers and has for 23 years in our municipal town hall. I'm friends with cops. I understand cops. I understand the dangers that they live. But we have to figure out how to overcome the fact that most of our police officers don't live in this city. They don't have ownership over the problems that they're confronting. And I think that we need to be very creative in bringing people together from both sides of that very real divide.
In case you've just joined us, you're listening to the Campbell Conversations, and I'm talking with the Green Party candidates for Syracuse City offices, Barbara Humphrey, Kevin Bott, and Howie Hawkins. Kevin, let me stick with you. These are now some very specific political questions I want to put to the group. How would you rate the leadership qualities of Stephanie Miner, setting the policies aside for a minute? Because a lot of political observers in this area regard her as a strong leader, even if they disagree with some of the policies.
Yeah, well, the word strong is a tricky one. I'm not hardwired as a politician, so it takes a little bit to make me, quote-unquote, attack someone's character or their leadership. That said, the mayor won't debate with me, and I need to say what I think in whatever forum I can, excuse me. When I hear the mayor speak about leadership, I hear management. She is talking about managing issues and managing people with a very top-down approach. And yes, that can be seen as strong. It is completely opposite of what I think of as leadership in a democracy. My idea of leadership is someone who can articulate a bold vision for an imagined future and bring people together to manifest that vision by bringing their voices and their unique talents and perspectives to the table. What we need to do in America right now, and what we certainly need to do in Syracuse, is to identify the people out there hungry for change, hungry to bring the city together, and bring them to the table, meaningfully invite them to the table so that they can make the decisions that affect their lives.
And Howie and Barbara, I wanted to ask the two of you a question, and we're running short of time here, so if you could be brief. And you've heard this before. How are you going to effectively function in city government being a party of one without even colleagues in your party outside of the city, say, at the county level, you know, that you could draw on for partnership? Barbara, how are you going to deal with that?
Well, the first thing I'll say is that I do have colleagues. I was a lifelong Democrat. I was a member of the Democratic Committee. and everybody knows why I left, and everybody respects why I left. I've had people come up to me and say, oh, I wish you were running as a Democrat. And I will say, you know why I'm not, and you know why I have to do this, and I know I'm going to have a lot of support. I know there are people on the board who, if I were willing to take the lead, if I were to speak up because I'm independent to do that, they would support me.
Hallie, what are your quick thoughts on that?
There are members of the council who I won't name, but who have privately told me they're rooting for me. And I have spoken on these budget issues we spoke about earlier, and the counselors, half of them, are nodding yes. They're just not speaking up. But I think they want somebody like me who doesn't face the consequences they do within their own party to speak up, and they'll be with me. And so I think, you know, we have our position, but we can work with anybody. Once the election's over, we got to.
And as a last question, and again, relatively briefly for each of you, Kevin, we'll start with you. It's kind of a version of the traditional three questions at the end for the Campbell Conversations. This will be a different type of it. What's the most important thing that hasn't come up so far in our conversation about you as a Green Party candidate that you'd want to share with our listeners?
I have a lifelong track record of innovation and creative leadership. You can go back more than 20 years and talk to people in my life who will attest to the fact that my leadership style brings people together, is inclusive, and gets results. Now, it's not in the political arena, although I am a political theater artist, but these are large-scale projects that I've undertaken, and I have worked with and befriended people from all walks of life, from all economic backgrounds. And I would do that for the city of Syracuse in a very concrete way.
Barbara, how about you?
For the past 40 years, I've been an activist inside and outside the city, the system. I worked for the city for more than 15 years, and I've been on the outside. I've raised issues both inside and outside. When people see me, they're very excited that I'm running. My campaign is not only a campaign to win an office, but it's also an education campaign. When I talk to people about federal education reform as a move toward privatization, I get many people who haven't made the connections, and I say, you need to pay attention to this and understand it, because by the time it comes, our public education system will be lost. So I'm an educator, and I'm a candidate.
And Hallie, you have the last word on this.
I have an approach to politics. I've been an organizer since the 1960s in peace movements, civil rights, labor. I'm a UPS teamster unloading trucks at night. And I see my role as helping people act and speak for themselves as an organizer and as a, if I'm representing the district. I have my ideas, and I will debate people on them and try to convince them of my point of view. But the main thing is to get people acting and speaking for themselves. The people need more power than they've been exercising. And I think when they get engaged, they'll know how to best take care of their own interests. And we're not having that right now. We're having this very top-down style with money coming in from developers and whatnot, funding the campaigns, and the people are getting left out.
That was Hallie Hawkins, Barbara Humphrey, and Kevin Bott. They're running for offices in the city of Syracuse this November. Kevin is running for mayor, Hallie is running for city councilor in the 4th District, and Barbara is running for school board. Thanks to the three of you for talking with me.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Grant Reher. Join me again next week on WRVO Public Media for more conversation in the public interest. You can also follow us on Twitter at Campbell Convos.
The Campbell Conversations, Conversations in the Public Interest, was hosted and produced by Grant Reher, engineered by Tom Fazio, and edited by Jason Smith. Research assistance was provided by Brooke Weinstein, Eric Lyons, and Alexandra Curtis. The Campbell Conversations is a joint production of the Campbell Public Affairs Institute at Syracuse University and WRVO Public Media. Visit wrvo.org/Campbell Conversations for more information.